The Town look to make it a hat-trick of wins over Everton this season in front of the Sky Sports cameras and the floodlights on Friday night. Jimbo, shit's about to get real, my friend.
Do or die, really, isn't it?
It really is, yeah. We will preview an absolutely humongous game of football after this intro.
Can you believe it?
I love this town. You know what I love about this town is actually you. Everyone in it has got these massive souls.
We're looking for people, and that's what we care about.
Hello everyone, welcome along to yet another episode of the Luton Town Supporters Trust podcast. As ever, it is Kev and the Lutonian journalist James Cunliffe looking ahead to, well, Friday night lights. Luton Town versus Everton, Sky Sports, 8 p.m. on Friday. I should say before we get stuck into this podcast, we're recording this podcast earlier than we normally do. This game kicks off earlier than it normally does. And there is some rather loud music taking place downstairs, if indeed you can call it that. It is pretty loud, isn't it? We'll have done everything that we can to dampen it out. But if you do get a little bit of feedback from it downstairs, we do apologise. Usually I ask you if this is must win. But I'll tell you for nothing it's must win, Jimbo, because there is a situation, right, where Luton lose this game, they can still stay up because they're only going to be a maximum of 4 points behind with six points left to play for. However, we have to factor in that last game of the season now. Burnley have closed in on us and Forest so much that any of the three results is going to have a detrimental impact on us in the last game of the season. So therefore, I can't see a way that Luton Town stay in the Premier League without winning this game. So that's why, for me, it's a must-win game.
Yeah, I mean, we've said must-win on a number of occasions this season. It's always down to the context of what that match has meant. Usually, teams we expected to be in and around. But this is it is now. It's, I mean, what, 13 games without a win?
One win, sorry.
Yeah, forget that one. Yeah, it's a good day, that. And yeah, with three games left, a team that is in the bottom half, which should be one of those games that you target more. I mean, they're safe now, aren't they, Everton, unfortunately. So it's not the winner-takes-all contest it would have been a couple of weeks ago when we were looking at it. It's all about what Luton can do, really. So, you know, they'll want to get revenge. They've had two defeats on their plate to us. But for us, it means more, really, because I'll make you right. I think you've got to win. I think if they don't win, I wouldn't be doom and gloom. It's over, because there's a chance. But it's about realism now, isn't it? And it's a massive, massive chance to firstly put yourself above Forest, but a big marker as well. And you've also got to look at Forest have got to go to Sheffield United, who are relegated already. That could be a huge chance for them to get 3 points. They'll be seeing that as well. So, yeah, it's a massive weekend of football, but it all starts at Kenilworth Road.
I've never supported Sheffield United in my life, and I don't intend to support Sheffield United in the future. But hopefully Saturday at 3 o'clock, I've every reason to support Sheffield United when they take on Notts Forest.
Luton have got to do business first.
We do have to do the business first. The thing is, that last game of the season now is impactful. For a long time of this season, we've written Burnley off, and it shows that we did that a little bit prematurely, because they're now within a point of us and within 2 points of Forest. I should just say at this point, we're going to have this out to you earlier than what we normally do have, because obviously the game takes place earlier. We're expecting to hear the results of the Forest appeal sometime this week. So if in between us recording this and getting it out, we've had that appeal and the landscape changes slightly, just bear with us. We just wanted to give you as much time to watch this as possible. But as we sit here right now, that Burnley Forest game someone's taking a point, if not all three, and we have to factor that into the equation now. Whereas previously we were quite happy for Burnley to win that game because it was going to make no impact on us. Now, obviously, now if they win the game, they go above us if they match our points total until then. So the landscape has changed a little bit. Where it hasn't changed, and where I'm kind of happy, really, that I'm not happy that Everton are safe, but it's quite kind of weird. It's kind of weird, isn't it? For the last 3 months, we've wanted to relegate Everton, mm-hmm. and now I really want to go and watch Everton again next season. It's mad. But where I think it helps us is we know the focus now. The focus is purely and simply on Nottingham Forest. Don't have to worry about this team, and this team. Just one team in our sights now. We have to get enough points to overhaul Nottingham Forest. If we do that, you would think the kind of chain reaction would be that we keep Burnley at bay because we've still got a one-point buffer and the goal difference on them. So I'm kind of okay that Everton are out of it. And I'm even more okay if they're out of it if they decide to have a night on the beach.
Yeah. No, it's a strange situation because it kind of feels like, despite what's gone on the last couple of months, and the points don't back this up, but it kind of almost feels like Luton have got it in their hands because of the way the fixtures are playing out. So you win that game, pressure's on Forest. The one good thing we've got in our favour is they're absolutely terrible away, and they're going to...
I mean, the away's superfluous there, really. It really is.
So, yeah, it kind of feels like, as we spoke about in the Wolves reaction podcast, that it's the same as it was before Wolves. As disappointing as that result was at Molineux, the situation is still the same. Winning, you go above Forest, pressure's all on them, and with three games to go and teams not picking up that many points, if at all, it could be a huge, significant blow.
Yep, you could. Everton then, beating them twice. Hopefully lightning strikes three times on this particular occasion. The good thing is we know we can beat them. The bad thing is we haven't switched this game to Goodison Park because, mm-hmm. We've always seemed to win there these days. But we know there isn't anyone in that dressing room on Friday night that doesn't know that they can beat Everton. They've done it twice. They deservedly won both games. There was no fluke involved in either of them. Okay, it was a late goal that won the cup game, but we were a country mile the better side in that cup game. It wasn't even close. So we know we can beat them. Whereas we went into the Wolves game, played really well against Wolves at home, but didn't beat them. This time we know for sure we can beat Everton. And it's up to the boys now to go out and prove it again.
Yeah, absolutely. You've got that sort of... psychological advantage over in that sense. The disappointing thing is with Everton's form of the last three games, the last week, is that they've won all of them.
Only at home, though.
Yes, at home, yeah. They've won all of them, not conceded a goal, beat their local rivals. Suddenly, they found some form, which, on the face of it, is... it kind of puts you at a disadvantage, but it also shows that things can turn quickly... potentially, so that it's not all doom and gloom for Luton, despite the recent run of results. But I would like them to come to Luton fearing a bit more, because the pressure would be massively more on them, I feel. They don't feel that they should be anywhere near where they are, even though this seems to be a permanent fixture of their calendar, that they're fighting relegation battles, albeit that theirs is not going to go to the final game of the season as it has done in previous ones. But so hopefully it can work in two different ways, can't it? It can be that the pressure's off them and they play better, or they're safe now and they can breathe a bit easier. I think that the past two results against Luton is going to give them something to play for there, and they'll want to rubber stamp it.
The good thing is we know what Everton are. You're right. Sean Dyche has never changed. He ain't going to change. So if you defend set pieces well and you stop long-distance shots raining in on your goal, you give yourselves a mighty good chance of winning. I mean, you mentioned these three games that they've just won. Notts Forest, two long shots that went in the bottom corners of both goals. Liverpool couldn't defend a set piece for love nor money. You can't possibly defend set pieces as badly as they defended them that night. They were horrendous at them. And you know you're going to get them. Stop giving away. I mean, I think the first one come from what Jurgen Klopp called a soft free kick. Mm-hmm. So don't give free kicks away around the box. Eliminate these set pieces as much as you possibly can. And then the winner against Brentford, bit of pinball, and midfielder ran onto it and pinged it in from sort of 15 yards. It's not like they're outplaying sides with natural open play football. They don't do that. They haven't done that in the two games against us. Their chances have come from sort of set pieces, crosses, dead balls. I mean, their goal in the home league game came from a set piece, didn't it? That was it Calvert-Lewin got on the end of? And then their goal at their place was another sort of scruffy goal. They don't open sides up regularly from open play, and they haven't really got what you'd call a natural goal scorer to the levels that we've just played against Wolves, for example. I mean, Calvert-Lewin, you know, he's played for England, stuff, but he's nowhere near that form. Don't know what the Beto situation is. I think you might still be seeing stars from that Notts Forest game. And the fella they had up front the other day, Chimiti, I mean, he squared up to Reece Burke in the cup game, didn't he? And soon backed down. So, you know, they're not going to overpower us from open play. Or if they do, we are in trouble because they're not that sort of side. They're just physical. They're going to throw balls in the box. And it's up to the back three to stand up, head everything away, get their heads on everything. First contact's absolutely huge. Don't give stupid free kicks away that they can pump the ball into the box. Negate the set pieces as much as you can and then get to work doing what we do best.
All of that is true, but also true is that Luton have been giving away some really soft goals of late or being very unfortunate in deflections and own goals and stuff like that. So it would be lovely if we've had the worst of that luck and it's been out of the system because... you don't want that to be the case in this big game. I mean, if they hit a worldie, there's not a lot you can do about that, is there? But you don't want them to be cutting you open. And certainly at home, where you expect the atmosphere is going to be big. It has to be a big atmosphere. It has to be intimidating. I don't care what you want to say, whether you're like jaded by the amount of defeats that have happened this season or jaded by anything that's happened this season, you've got to put it all aside and just go for it this game because there is, you know, you might never get another chance.
Yeah, if you're going to this game, stick the replay of the Sunderland home game on YouTube before you go and remind yourself of what the atmosphere was like. And even when you get to the game, forget their blue shirts and think they're wearing red and white stripes and give it that atmosphere because this one is now in that situation where our season hinges on this result. It really does. If we don't win this game, we've got to really factor in that Forest are going to beat Sheffield United. Now, hey, if they don't, happy days. That would be absolutely superb for us if they don't. But then Burnley are playing Newcastle, another terrible side on the road. So they might get something. So we have to win this game. We are in that position now where our season hinges on Friday night. Whereas we've tried to claim that's the case, or it's tried to be claimed that that's the case in recent games, Bournemouth and Brentford, but it hasn't been that. This time, it officially is. Yes, we can't be relegated on Friday night, but we can go from 50, 60, 70% chance of staying up to 10, 20, 30% chance of staying up. That's the difference now. It is all on this one. We have to be, and I do believe... And I haven't got the full details from it, but I do believe there's going to be another drinks offer for fans who want to get there early. Hey,
get down there, get tanked up.
Get themselves sort of in the mood sort of thing. I do believe that the club are looking...
But drink responsibly.
Absolutely.
But get tanked up.
Yeah. Drink whatever you need to drink to make sure you're in full voice for 90 minutes throughout the course of this game. Yeah, I believe the club are looking at doing that. We haven't got the details at the time that we record this, but they'll share it all over social media. So take advantage of that if you're at the game. But please give it everything in the stands, and the boys will give it everything on the pitch. Team lineup for Luton. Normally we'd pick out some threats from this Everton side. Firstly, I'm not sure there are too many anyway. And also, they've so many injuries and things like that. We're going to concentrate on Luton for this podcast. And if that pisses off the Everton people that still keep on commenting in our YouTube comments, then so be it. You are watching a Luton podcast, and for once we are going to concentrate on Luton.
They've done nothing but whinge anyway, so I mean, you're safe, lads. Give it a rest.
Yeah, absolutely. Our team selection. We kind of thought it in the Wolves review, but there is no way a 1-11 cannot contain our number 11 here, can it? Rob's spoken in the lead up, and you'll obviously ask him on Thursday, and he'll obviously lie to you on Thursday. But he's spoken in the last pretty much every press conference since that last international break, whereby he's hinted that he's prepared to take risks with his players when the time's right. Well, Rob doesn't need me to tell him that the time is now. He brought Elijah back for a reason on Saturday, right? He brought him back to prove that he can do a few minutes, get a few minutes into his legs. He starts this game, surely.
100%, yeah. Also, bear in mind, he said that he wouldn't be involved on Saturday. And then he was. So I'm okay with the lies, the little sweet little lies at the moment, if it means players are coming back. Also says to me, and we'll get to this in a minute, but I think Chio's back as well. I think he'll be on the team sheet, or the squad at least. And that'll be a massive bonus as well. But for starters, Eli has to start. It was a great little cameo up at Molineux against Wolves. And just what he offers in a defensive sense, in the pressing that he does, is great. But there's another focal point to get the ball into as well, and obviously another man in the box when the cross is coming as well. So, yeah, the time is now. He looked lively, looked sharp. It certainly wasn't a repeat of the Huddersfield playoff game in the Championship when he came on and could barely move. I think it was a calculated move to not throw him on where you might wanted to in the games before, and now at this crunch time he's available. Also, he's just seen Carl Morris go above him in the scoring sheets as well, so he want to get double figures himself this season.
Yeah, absolutely he will. Yeah, I remember when we did the first podcast of this season, it was a fixture release one, wasn't it? We recorded straight after the fixtures came out, and I can't remember which one of us it was. Might have been Simon, because he's a geeky one for these fixtures and things, but he said something along the lines of, if we're in it with three to play, you just throw everything at it and you've got every chance. We're in it, there's three to play, you're throwing everything at it, give ourselves every chance. Chio, be an interesting one. If he's back, I don't know which side it'll be, but Ashley Young will be on the pitch. Played left back against Brentford. I don't know where. I only picked up the game on my iPad, sort of coming home from Wolves about 10 minutes into it, so I didn't hear all the pre-match stuff. I don't know where Mikalenko was. But if he doesn't play left back, he'll play right back. Seamus Coleman's out injured and the other fella's done for the season, Ferguson. So he's going to play one of them. And the last time that Ashley Young started before Saturday, you know, he caused Stuart Atwell no end of grief, because he had to keep on bullshitting the penalties and making sure that they weren't given. Were Chio to be going at him, and we've seen it twice in this season already, there's your joy. So for Chio's back, oh my word, I'll have a couple of beers to celebrate that, especially if they buy one, get one free.
Exactly that, yeah. If the two of those players, Eli and Chio, are on the pitch, I think it puts a whole different complexion on the game, because they'll be wary of the pace of Chio, and we've already spoken just now about what Eli offers, even in a defensive sense, but attacking as well. He was in such a rich vein of form, goal-scoring form, when he got, unfortunately, injured, and we've not seen him for a while. So the two of those players back on, and if you think about how badly the injuries have affected Luton, and they have, you can't get away from that. Playing with the threadbare squad for such a long time has had impacts on results, but it's had impacts on the players that have had to step up and carry on playing. You know, that some of them are absolutely knackered. Even when you get a week between games at the moment, the intensity levels are so high. They've played for so long without any backup or any possibility of switching. It's such a difficult thing. But you put those two players back in, you've got more in an attacking sense. And, you know, with the absence of maybe only Jacob Brown, I know there are other players still injured, but realistically Mads Andersen was second string at the time and we wanted him back because there was no defence, central defenders at all. But Jacob Brown, other than that, it's almost a full strength side again, isn't it? You've got Lokonga back, you've got three centre backs. Those two in the side, there's very little room for excuses then. It's just do or die.
Yeah, because even with Lokonga back, there's no guarantee Marvellous would start. It would only be Lockyer. He would start somewhere along the lines, but of course we know we're not going to have him back for the foreseeable. So yeah, you're absolutely right. We are getting close
I mean full strength, of course, considering those long-term ones that we know that are coming back.
You're absolutely right. We're getting back to an 11, which was walloping Brighton.
Yeah,
which went toe-to-toe in a humdinger at Newcastle, you know, which battled hard in games around that. But what it also means is the quality that's coming off the bench. So when these players do tire, and they're going to tire, if they've not played football for 2 months, it's natural that they're going to tire at some point. We've got someone along the lines of Jordan Clark, Andros Townsend, Tahith Chong, whoever it is who's on the bench to start this game, because someone will have to be if Eli starts the game, and if Chio, I presume Chio will come in for Hashioka, to be fair, but if he's fit. But we're going to have some quality coming off the bench. And you think of the bench on Saturday, Luke Berry made a big impact, Corley Woodrow made a big impact. So all of a sudden, we can impact the game off the bench as well. So that in itself will help us. So that's a real positive. But the Chio one is massive because teams are scared of him. They're scared of his pace. So how do you deal with his pace? Well, the natural thing to deal with his pace is you drop deep, that there's no space in behind you. So then what does that do? That opens up a chasm between your defence and your midfield. And who takes advantage of that? Ross Barkley. Which game this season is Ross Barkley going to want to win more than any other game of football after he booed relentlessly in the cup game down there? Mm-hmm. Oh, hello, we've got it on Friday night. Now, Ross will know he wasn't up to standards on Saturday, barring that shot that he hit. He did take a blow to the face. I don't know if there was some sort of relapse of his broken
probably
nose or some,
probably
some,
still broken
something
from
that
season,
so
yeah.
You know, he deserves to be cut some slack. Jesus, he deserves to be cut some slack anyway for what he's delivered this season. But if there's a night for the peak Ross Barkley that we've seen in those halcyon days of Brighton and Newcastle, if he turns up on Friday, we have got every chance of winning this football match. Because at this stage of the season, I'm a huge believer that the best player on the pitch will stand out and be the best player on the pitch. And I look at these two sides and I don't see anyone who laces Ross Barkley's boots. And if he can turn up and be the best version of Ross Barkley, we've got a massive, massive chance of winning this game.
Yeah, I mean, I do wonder at the weekend, I know it wasn't his finest hour, that I wonder whether it was just a case of saving him for this one.
You're just so not used to him going off, are we? When the six went up, you're like, oh, are they bringing a sub on? Because there's none of it. It's just a surprise. What's happening here?
Yeah, exactly. I wouldn't be surprised. I think there's a lot of thought gone into, obviously, the Eli situation, when to bring him back. I think they've played it quite well in that regard. Even if you'd like to have seen him earlier, you never know if he would have broken down a bit earlier. And I think maybe that might be that be part of the decision for Ross. I mean, there'd be a tactical element as well, and the fact that he wasn't really firing. But, you know, he's been such a top performer anyway all throughout the season. You can forgive him a performance like that, but it's the reaction as well. He'd want to react. And against his boyhood club, obviously, it's a huge incentive.
Yeah, it really is. Peak Ross, please. That would be fantastic. It's crazy, isn't it, that I've spoken about how they score from set pieces. We scored 4 goals against this lot this season. 1, 2, 3, 4 goals all from set pieces. I mean, football's a bonkers game at times.
Yeah, I mean, I'll take that. I'll take any way they go in. It'd be nice if all these own goals and deflected shots rectify themselves within the first 5 minutes.
Well, I mean,
Mikulenko,
who opened the scoring at their place with an own goal for us, didn't he? And that was the day I thought I'd had 250 sheets making its way into my back stick, and because the club tweeted that it was Reece Burke who scored the opener, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I was pretty certain it was Mikulenko, and so it proved. If you want to do that again, Mikulenko, you know, there's the goalpost, son. Stick it in.
If anyone wants to put it in their own net, from a Toffee's perspective, I'll be happy with that. I mean, let's be honest, the ideal scenario, and certainly if you get Chigo and Eli back, even if it's just Eli to start with, the ideal scenario is a first half blitz, the like of Brighton. That's what you'd want. That would set your nerves.
That's all we've got to do. Score twice in the first 2 minutes.
Albeit since
piece
then.
Piece of piss this game. Which
albeit since then, you've had the situation that happened at Bournemouth, so that adds an extra layer of nervousness.
That'll never happen again.
I don't think so.
Never again.
Bournemouth are a better side than you ever, and unfortunately.
Yeah, no, there's definitely nothing unfortunate about that. That's for sure, especially as we've already beaten them down here as well. It's just, there's no dressing this up. It's just a huge game of football. It's a game of football where the big players for Luton Town need to stand up. They need to be counted. Look, I don't need to tell them that. They'll know it themselves. They'll talk about it themselves. Rob will tell them. And it's a game where we all need to do this. You know, the boys on the pitch. I've mentioned it before. If you're not getting what you want from the supporters, ask for the help. You'll get the crowd. You really shouldn't need to ask for the crowd on Friday night. It should be natural. Floodlights, Sky TV, Friday night. It's been picked for a reason. Let's go out and show the very, very best of Luton Town on the pitch, off the pitch. And we know we can win this game. We've done it twice already.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's going to take every part of your supporting, every inch of it, every sinew of your body to get the team up for this. And certainly, even if the worst happens and Everton go ahead, it can't be a quiet atmosphere like, oh, here we go again. It's got to be, this is the point where it changes. I mean, let's be honest, Bournemouth went ahead at home recently and that turned out all right, didn't it? So it can be done. The fact it hasn't been done that often this season is probably where the reticence is there a little bit, but this is almost like a one-off game, this, isn't it? You've got to tackle it to the full extent. And if you sort of expand the view a bit and look at the games coming up, which you can't do really because you don't know the sort of ramifications of what's going to happen in this game week, but you've got West Ham, you've got to go to West Ham. They've just drawn against Liverpool at their place and they've still got a chance of Europe, so they've got something to play for. They did down tools 2 weeks ago, but they're back on it again, I think. And then it's down to the last day, which it probably still will go down to the last day. But if you can give yourself this breathing room.
Well, if we win this game, it definitely goes down to the last day, doesn't it?
Well, absolutely. But it feels like things are in Luton's hands if they win this. And they are.
Absolutely. I'll keep on saying it. There'll be people out there who probably don't believe me because it happened so long ago, but we have been in far worse situations than this, even with 3 games of football to go, and we've survived. We were 30 seconds away from being relegated, I remember, in 91, and Ian Dowie, of all people, popped up and scored against Crystal Palace, you know, and we stayed up that year. The year before, 6 points adrift with 3 games left. Tim Brake had decided, I'm not having none of this, and pinged one in the top corner from 30 yards at the baseball ground past England goalkeeper Peter Shilton. Who's in goal for Everton on Friday night? Oh, England goalkeeper Jordan Pickford. Tim Brake, where are you? We need a right back.
I'd rather Peter Shilton were in goal, to be honest.
You and me both. Jesus Christ, we'd have a field day then. Mind you, the last time Everton were on their travels was at Stamford Bridge. And Jordan Pickford did a mighty good Peter Shilton impression that night. Pushed 2 of them out to strikers and kicked another one straight to Cole Palmer, of all people. Jordan, that is the performance we want from you, son. That one.
Absolutely. Stinkers all round, actually, if you can manifest that, please, Toffees. It's been lovely for you, I imagine, this 3-game winning streak. But let's get back to the real Everton, shall we?
Get back to being shit, is basically what we're... what we're requesting, yeah. It's a big night. Do you know what the best thing about this is? It's a bank holiday weekend. So me and James need to have a voice left to record the review podcast, which we'll do on Sunday night, as we always do. We might actually do an instant reaction podcast here. We'll see how it all goes. So there might be an instant reaction that we'll post up on social media sometime on Saturday. But you guys, you ain't got work until Tuesday.
Yeah.
You've got 3 whole days to recover, so you can let every part of your voice go on Friday night and make sure that you get behind the boys with absolutely everything you've got. And hey, game will finish at 10 o'clock. You can still go and get a couple before last orders to replenish anyway.
Yeah, I'd forgotten that it was a bank holiday weekend, which is brilliant. Loving that. Yeah, even more reason to get down there early, partake in the free 2-for-1 drinks offers, which I'm sure will be announced by the time this goes out. And yeah, let's have a party. I mean, it's been tough for the last couple of months, but this is a match to turn it around.
It absolutely is. Yep. Can't be, well, we can't make it any bigger than it is because it's absolutely huge. So if you've got a ticket for Friday night, please, 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 please make as much noise as you possibly can. Give it everything you've possibly got in those stands. And look, these boys rise to the occasion. They've risen to the occasion so many times in the last 3, 4, 5 years that we're convinced that they've got one more hurrah in them, hopefully two, on the last day of the season. Almost time for us to go, but we're not going to depart before we do our score predictions for this huge game of football. So, James?
Pressure's on you, boy, isn't it?
Luton versus Everton, how does it finish?
I think it will be an absolute humdinger of a game, and I'm going to go for the old faithful of 3-2 Luton.
3-2 Luton for James. I don't think it will be. I think Luton will control this game. I think we'll do exactly what we did against Sunderland in the playoffs. It'll be the identical because it's going to be the exact same score as well. Luton are going to win this game 2-0. And my word, we'd all love that, wouldn't we? Eh?
Absolutely.
Well, the two games that you've regularly referenced when you've called for the atmosphere, Watford, Sunderland, 2-0 both times. You're calling for the atmosphere. You're going to get the atmosphere this time. I've kind of been doubtful about the atmosphere in the last times you called for it because I just know the jeopardy wasn't there. You're getting that atmosphere this time and you're getting a 2-0 Luton win as well.
I hope so because I love it when the hairs stand up on the back of my neck when Kenilworth Road is rocking. Lots of teams have heard about it and probably hasn't quite lived up to it a couple of times when we thought it would do so. Now is the time. Get your A game on.
I mean, if you even need any motivation to get booing the opposition, there's two ex-Watford players in there for crying out loud. You know, don't let them have an easy night, have an easy ride of it. Don't do it disrespectfully, but don't let them have an easy time of it as well. Ashley Young and Decore, you know, every time they're on the ball, you just think back to the Sunderland game, every time Diallo got the ball, he visibly winced, didn't he? He didn't want a piece of it. This is where we can play our advantage.
And they've been cheating, so, you know.
And that as well.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, yeah, leave it all out there in the stands. They will on the pitch. You've heard in copious amounts of podcasts that we've done, players saying that they'll leave absolutely everything out there, and they will do. And I think we're good enough to win this game of football. So, now it's just over to the boys to get the job done. That's pretty much it for this preview episode of the podcast. Thanks to James for his thoughts, as always. Get your score predictions in. We've not got as long as you normally would do with this game kicking off 8 p.m. on Friday, but there's still plenty of time for you to get your score predictions in. And as always, we will give you a shout out in the full review podcast for the Everton game, if indeed you get it right. We won't do it in the instant reaction one because I'll literally need to fly up to the gantry, get it recorded and clear off so that James can go and get all of the reaction that he normally gets and things like that. Do keep your comments coming in. We do see them all. We reply to as many of them as I can. If you support Everton, don't bother. We're not going to read them. We couldn't give a hoot about them for this one.
You have a little chuckle with it.
But yeah, Luton fans, keep your comments coming. We do read them all. Really appreciate all of your support. Do keep on liking, subscribing, sharing this podcast amongst as many of you as you can. The wider appeal the podcast gets, the more guests we can get on and the further reach that we can produce with it. So we really appreciate everyone who's subscribed so far. Please do keep on subscribing. That is it. Thanks very much to the Hightown Club for staging our studio, as always. To Sean Grant and the Wolfgang for our intro music. And to Ed Smith Creative for all the designs that you see on set. Until the review podcast for this game, everything we've got, town, we can do this. From James and myself, come on, you Hatters.
You know what I love about this town is actually you. Everyone in it has got this massive soul.